Good morning. I call this meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect it is 10:25 a.m. on Saturday, May 15th, 2021. Present in the room today are Representative Thompson, Representative LeVon, Vice Chair Ortiz, Co-Chair Foster, Representative Josephson, Representative Wohl, myself, Co-Chair Merrick. I'd like to recognize Representative Sponholz, and we have Representative Johnson. I would like to thank the committee members for their patience as we were working on capital budget issues this morning, so I apologize for the delay. This morning we will consider House Bill 111, Dental Hygienist Advanced Practice Permit, by Representative Sponholz. Representative, if you'd like to join us, place yourself on the record and begin your presentation.
Good morning. Good morning. I am Representative Ivy Sponholz, House District 16 in East Anchorage. So HB 111 creates an advanced practice permit for dental hygienists that are experienced and licensed to provide preventative oral health care to underserved populations in senior centers, healthcare facilities, daycare, schools, and for Alaskans who are eligible for public assistance, are homebound, or who live in an underserved rural community. Oral health plays a crucial role in overall health and well-being of Alaskans, and poor oral health contributes to bad health. And in Alaska, low-income individuals and families are regularly not seeking dental health care due to costs, apprehension of dental work, and trouble finding a dental health care provider. Bad oral health is associated with cardiovascular disease, Alzheimer's, osteoporosis, as well as poor nutrition and other serious health issues. So increasing access to preventative dental health care will actually help Alaskans be healthier, which helps them to be better moms and dads, workers, and all of the good things that we want them to do. So it creates an advanced practice permit. Currently, dental hygienists can practice in a dentist practice supervised by a dentist or practice semi-autonomously if they have a collaborative agreement similar to what physician's assistants do in the state of Alaska. HB 111 creates an advanced practice permit which would allow dental hygienists to care for underserved populations if they do the following. They have a minimum of 4,000 hours of clinical experience and are approved by the Alaska Board of Dental Examiners. This bill lays out specific services that are allowed under the permit and the specific populations that a licensed dental hygienist could provide these services independently. This list has been developed in consultation with the Alaska Dental Society, the Board of Dental Examiners, and the Alaska Dental Hygienists Association. Advanced practice permit holders will have to have malpractice insurance, provide a written notice of their service limitations, and make a referral to a licensed dentist if further dental treatment is needed. So this will allow dental hygienists to practice to the full scope of their training, but not to provide any services for which they're not qualified or trained to provide. And Alaska wouldn't be the first state to make these changes. Dental hygienists are able to practice under advanced practice permits or similar permits in six other states, and 40 other states are considered direct access states, which means that dental hygienists can initiate treatment based on their assessment of a patient's needs without the referral or presence of a dentist. Last, I want to just note that we've already made some important changes to this bill at the recommendation of the Board of Dental Examiners and the Alaska Dental Society, including requiring permit holders to maintain patient records for at least 7 years, making sure that the Board of Dental Examiners has separately certified a dental hygienist to administer local anesthesia only, and empowering the Department of Health and Social Services to make regulations on this bill. So available for questions today for the committee, we have Royanne Royer with the Alaska Dental Hygienists Association, Dr. Greg Johnson, Board of Dental Examiners, Sarah Chambers with the Department of Commerce Community, who does licensing, and Renee Gayhart with the Department of Health and Social Services, Healthcare Services. I'm happy to take any questions, and my aide, Bakak Berner, also has a very brief presentation.
Thank you. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe you said it, but how many advanced hygiene practice permits do you expect to be issuing right off the bat, when it gets approved?
Representative Thompson, through the chair, there's currently 659 registered dental hygienists in the state of Alaska, and if we were to extrapolate using nurse practitioners as as an, you know, sort of a comparison, it would be roughly about 10% of dental hygienists in the state of Alaska who would be eligible. But as I said, they would have to have 4,000 hours of clinical experience, and they'd have to be approved by the Board of Dental Examiners. And so it will, that will not happen immediately. So we're probably talking about 65 people.
Thank you. Representative Wohl, did I see a question?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. You spoke to this, and I just want to make sure I understand it. This doesn't expand the scope of practice. It just allows them to practice without the supervision of a dentist. And you mentioned local anesthesia. They're currently allowed to administer local anesthesia.
Representative Wohl, through the chair, that is true. This bill is not expanding the scope of practice of dental hygienists in any way. Dental hygienists are already allowed to administer local anesthesia for the purpose of very limited practice, and this wouldn't expand this. If it did expand their practice scope, I think that the dentist would have some opposition. And you know, the dental hygienists and dental society have worked very carefully together on this agreement, and the dentists are in full support of this. And there's a letter of support in your bill packet to that effect.
Thank you. We'll take questions from Representative Ortiz and then Josephson, and then we'll go to the presentation, please. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Thank you, Representative Sponholz, for bringing this forward to the committee. With the issuance or with the passage of HB 111 and the potential issuance of the advanced practice permit, I assume this would allow a dental hygienist to practice independently, open up their own clinic, and it wouldn't be – it would. They could do it anywhere. They wouldn't have to do it in low-income areas or anything like that. They could just open up a clinic wherever they chose to do it if they felt the market was going to be supportive of that. Is that correct?
Representative Ortiz, through the chair, the intent of the legislation is to provide increased access to underserved populations. It's not to create increased competition with dentists. I want to be really clear about that. This is about increasing access to preventative dental health care, which is what hygienists do. And most of us, when we go to the dentist's office, actually spend most of our time with a dental hygienist, and the dentist will come in very briefly and do a quick, you know, sort of oral health examination, and then we'll do follow-up if there are cavities or other issues. The intent of this is that dental hygienists would be able to meet the need for underserved populations, so folks that are low income, for folks that are underserved areas. You know, there may be some areas in your district, Representative Ortiz, that may not have a dentist, and this would allow a dental hygienist, for example, to practice in that area. So it would allow them to do that, but with a very limited scope.
Could I follow up? Thank you.
Could I follow up? There's in the FAQ, there's a section. Could I follow up quickly on that? If you flip to
yourself on the record.
Oh. My apologies. For the record, my name is Buckug Sophie Berner, and I am staff to Representative Sponholz. If you flip to the FAQ document that was provided, there is a response from Katrina Virgin, and it regards to where they anticipate the dental hygienist to be practicing. They actually only anticipate that the dental hygienist will be practicing semi in the field or around low-income areas, but they will also be still working in dental clinics under a licensed dentist. So this is just anticipated. It's in the very beginning. Sorry. Yeah. So if you flip down there, it anticipates how frequently will they be working outside the premise of a dentist's office, a dental office.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Representative Josephson.
Thank you. Through the chair, Representative Sponholz, you're capable staffer just may have answered this to some degree, but how do you perceive if a dental hygienist, and I think they, because of the strenuous type of work they do, sometimes they work less than 40 hours, but how do you perceive, and it's just a curiosity, that's mm-hmm. all this is, they're doing this work in combination with their regular work. Would it be sort of at their discretion, supplemental to it, extra service, extra income? I just, if you give me a sense of that.
Representative Josephson, through the chair, I think this might be a better question for Roy Ann Royer, who's with the Alaska Dental Hygienist Association, who could maybe speak to that more specifically than me.
Thank you. Ms. Royer, please state your name, affiliation, and help Representative Josephson with his question, please.
Sure. My name is Ryan Royer, and I am a dental hygienist, and I've been a resident of Alaska and in clinical practice and education for those 35 years. Just to answer that question, I would expect that most people that are doing this would do it probably as their primary practice, but not 40 hours a week would be my guess. And some people may do it as extra. You know, it's hard to say at this point.
So a follow-up.
Yes, follow-up.
So they do it at their primary practice. And so how does that look different than a typical day today?
Well, no, they would not. I would not think that they – I'm sorry. I thought you were asking would they do this as their primary practice, not in a primary practice with a dentist. No, if they were going to be doing this, I would expect that they would be – doing this in an underserved area without a dentist as their primary practice. And, you know, it may be supplemental to when, you know, they're working with a dentist, and it may not be.
Okay. And so they would remain connected to a dental practice, and this is sort of a new niche in the industry. Is that right?
Yes. And they don't have to be connected with a specific practice. It would allow them to refer to a dentist, like, you know, say it was a hygienist here in Anchorage and they were working out in an underserved area up north of Talkeetna or something like that. Maybe they would refer to a dentist in Talkeetna instead of Anchorage. Does that make sense?
No.
Representative Josephson.
It makes enough sense to me. It looks like Representative Sponholz.
Yes. Representative Sponholz.
All right. Representative Josephson, through the chair, I just want to clarify that what we're doing is we're creating a new standard of licensure for dental hygienists, which would allow them to practice independently without a dentist supervision if they practice in a sort of very narrow scope, providing services to an underserved population, to communities that can't get access to dental health care. And I think a really good example is going into senior centers and nursing homes, right? There are sometimes folks that are, you know, have limited capacity. You could see an advanced practice dental hygienist going into the Pioneer Home, for example, and providing dental health care. And they, as Ms. Royer said, they could still practice under the supervision of a dentist elsewhere if they wanted to, but they most likely what would happen is this would become sort of a specialty of certain people, that they would be interested in providing care to an underserved population. This would become their specialty. This is a very rigorous process that they'll have to go to. They'll have, you know, have to have practice for 4,000 hours and then apply for a permit that would have to be, you know, developed in regulation and then approved by the Board of Dental Examiners, which has both dental hygienists and dentists on it. So it would not be easy to do this. It would be, you know, a very high bar, much like it's a very high bar to be an advanced practice nurse in the state of Alaska. It would be a very high bar, and they would be providing services to a small population. So it's most likely that this would be sort of an independent practice niche that they would serve in, providing services to underserved folks.
That was very helpful.
Representative Sponholz, can I just add to that, if you don't mind?
Yes, please go ahead.
So that is exactly what I do, what you just said. I actually am a practitioner under collaborative practice agreement, which allows a hygienist to practice independently under the general supervision of a dentist, and that's what I do at Prestige Rehabilitation Center, Long-Term Care, and Pioneer Home. And so it, you know, it allows me to work independently under collaborative practice, but this would allow me to work if I didn't have the few amazing dentists that I have to collaborate on this project. It would allow me another avenue to continue this program if I didn't have a dentist that was working directly with me. I would be able to do this and then refer to a dentist in the area.
Thank you. And I do have questions from Representative Thompson and Ortiz, but I'll let Ms. Berner go through the presentation to see if questions are answered. I believe it's brief, and then we'll go for questions. Thank you. Ms. Berner?
Okay.
Thank you. I will try to be as brief as I can. All right.
for the record. This is Buckuck Sophie Berner. I am staff to Representative Sponholz, and I'd like to go through the presentation provided to you today. So starting with slide two, I want to go over quickly the difficulties that Alaskans face regarding oral health. So according to the American Dental Association Health Policy Institute, 62% of Alaskan school children are cited to have high rates of tooth decay. Furthermore, 43% of low-income adults claim to have difficulty biting and chewing. Overall, the oral pain is an issue for young people and low-income individuals across America. A major cause for these statistics is that low-income families struggle with oral health care due to general geographic inaccessibility, potential costs, or trouble finding providers. Moving on to slide three. The outcome is that Alaska's vulnerable populations are disproportionately impacted by dental diseases, such as untreated cavities and high rates of gum disease. The best way to treat or address oral care is preventative care. This is where dental hygienists are crucial. Working on the forefront of oral care, dental hygienists are cited in both applying and educating underserved populations on the importance of oral health and well-being. Increase in oral health care through advanced practice permits meets the needs for various groups. These groups are as listed: children who are reliant on guardians who might not be available or have the ability to provide access, seniors and elderly living in long-term care homes, much as what we just referenced, Alaskans with disabilities, regardless whether it's because of mobility issues or sensory issues with clinical spaces, Alaskans in remote correctional facilities, and rural Alaskan communities with too small populations to warrant having a local clinic. Moving on to slide four, I'd like to at this time go over the sectional analysis with you all. So if you could please flip to your sectional analysis. I'd like to start with section one. Section one of amends Alaska Statute 08.32.110 to include allowing dental hygienists who have advanced practice permits issued by the Alaska Board of Dental Examiners to perform their duties as allowed by the permit. Moving on to section two, under Alaska Statute 08.32.125, the new section creates the advanced practice permit and the following requirements. As previously mentioned in subsection A, it requires a minimum of 4,000 documented hours of clinical experience to obtain an advanced practice permit in order to perform the following services: oral health education, general oral health cleaning, creating treatment plans, screenings, and taking radiographs and delegating to a dental assistant. In subsection B, permits a dental hygienist hold an advanced practice permit to provide services to the individuals who are unable to receive dental treatment, individuals such as those previously mentioned, which include those impacted by age, infirmity, or disability. Furthermore, individuals in long-term care or residential health facilities, correctional facilities, attending a certain educational centers, or a resident in a community where there are shortages of dental health professionals, these all qualify. Subsection C allows dental hygienists holding an advanced practice permit to provide and allow services without supervision or prior examination from a licensed dentist to a patient. Subsection D requires dental hygienists under the permit to maintain professional liability insurance and that their patients or their legal guardians receive written notice that the services provided will be limited to what is allowed by the permit. Additionally, in need for further oral care, dental hygienists must provide a written recommendation for a licensed dentist and assist in receiving referral from a dentist for further treatment. Subsection E, a licensed dental hygienist with an advanced practice permit may practice independently. And subsection F, advanced practice permits are valid until the license of the dental hygienist expires. At the time of renewal, the dental hygienist is able to renew both licenses at the same time. Section 3 addresses grounds for removal. Statute 08.32.160 is amended to exempt dental hygienists with advanced practice permits from required supervision for clinical procedures. However, licenses may be revoked in the case a dental hygienist allows a dental assistant to perform prohibited procedures, such as fraudulent advertising or services or billing. Additionally, in the case a dental hygienist failed to maintain facility records for the past 7 years, the licenses will also be revoked. Moving on to subsection four, this allows a dental hygienist holding an advanced practice permit to delegate certain duties, such as taking radiographs or applying preventative agents, to a dental assistant as allowed by the board's regulations. Section five prohibits insurance companies from discriminating against dental hygienists holding advanced practice permits from obtaining this pre-mentioned liability insurance. Section 6 is amended to include dental hygienists in the list of optional services provided by the Department of Health and Social Services. Section 7 allows the following departments to adopt regulations necessary to implement the changes in the bill. This includes Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, the Department of Health and Social Services, and the Board of Dental Examiners. The regulations do not take effect before the effective date of the bill. Section 8 states that Section 7 on this department regulations takes effective immediately, and Section 9 states the effective date for Section 1 through 6 is July 1st, 2022. This concludes the sectional analysis. At this point, we can return to the PowerPoint. I'll let you switch over. And on this final page, we have a list of various dental care shortages around our state, whether it's geographic, tribal, or state-provided dental shortages, as well as federally provided shortage areas. At this time, I will conclude my presentation, and we are open to questions again.
And Madam Chair, it might be helpful to hear from the invited testifiers before we go further into questions. In order, I think some of the invited testimony may address people's questions.
Yeah, that sounds fine. Let's see. First, we have Royanne Royer, who we heard from earlier, Director of Healthy Smiles Forever, on behalf of the Alaska Dental Hygienists Association. Ms. Royer, if you could place yourself on the record again and begin your invited testimony.
Sure. Thank you, and good morning to the committee. I think, you know, a lot of the things that I was going to say in my testimony, we talked about kind of in the last question. But I would just emphasize again that I am working under the collaborative agreement. I started this nonprofit organization serving residents in long-term care facilities 5 years ago, and hope to continue expanding that beyond Prestige and Pioneer Home. And the collaborative practice has really improved the ability to provide care for some underserved areas. And I know a few other hygienists who are doing this, but many hygienists who want to work in underserved areas cannot find a dentist who will work in a collaborative agreement. And so a hygienist in Fairbanks actually initiated this legislation due to this scenario. So I think new ways of bringing oral health care to underserved populations are needed. And this is the reason dental professionals in Alaska support this bill. I would say specifically, since this committee is looking at financial aspects, I would emphasize that exams and cleanings done routinely are much less expensive than waiting for the person to notice problems or have pain before accessing care. And then that necessitates more extensive and expensive procedures. So a hygienist could assess these minor issues and get them to a dentist for treatment before that is a problem. And also, just as important as Representative Sponholz stated, is the effect of oral health having on overall health and all the correlations now being recognized between oral health and systemic conditions such as pneumonia, diabetes, and heart disease. And so if these conditions are prevented, it could save even more money. And these situations could be prevented using the model described in this bill. So I think that kind of summarizes some of the other points that I had, and I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you for your time.
Representative Thompson, was your question for Ms. Royer?
No, I'll wait.
Thank you. Representative Ortiz.
Yes, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Ms. Royer, I certainly appreciate the intent of this, and likely be very, very supportive of the passage of this particular bill. I'm just a little unclear yet as to whether or not someone who would receive this advanced practice permit, whether or not they decide where they can open up a particular clinic or offer services, or is it defined by the dental health professional shortage areas, which seem like there's a definition of where those areas are. So in other words, I'm just a little unclear on that particular aspect of it. Could you help me with that?
Yes, I think I just lost you for a moment at the end, but I think what you asked is would it be specified by the bill? Yes, it is. It can only be in the underserved areas. And yes, a hygienist would decide where that area was that she wanted to do this
advanced practice permit. In reality, it would probably be in combination with consulting with the dentist in that area. I mean, I guess I would emphasize that the hygienist would still act as, you know, a team member in collaboration with other dental professionals. I don't see them acting totally independently.
Follow up?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. So I think I heard you say that these areas are defined. A person couldn't open up a clinic in an area that's not clearly defined already as a dental health professional shortage area. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay. Correct.
And, Madam Chair?
Representative Sponholz.
Just to be specific on this particular issue, if you look at Section 2, Subsection B on page 3, starting at the top of the page, it describes very specifically the list of areas, and I apologize, it wasn't more specific earlier, Representative Ortiz, that somebody with an advanced practice permit can practice in, and it very clearly spells them out in subsections 1 through 7, where an advanced practice permit holder can provide services to.
Thank you.
Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Ms. Royce, I believe.
Royer,
sorry. I knew it was close, Ms. Royer. Thank you. Ms. Royer, you said you have a collaborative agreement currently, and you're able to go into, you know, Pioneer Homes or correction facilities already under this sort of overall supervision of a dentist. If you got the advanced practice permit, would your job change all that much? Would your day-to-day job basically stay the same? You just wouldn't have to sort of have a dentist sign off on various things?
Correct. You are correct. And I personally would not change at this point. I'm very happy working under collaborative agreement with a dentist, and it works out very well. So I just I see both of these needed. You know, I don't see one separate and or, I mean, I guess I see them separately, the collaborative agreement and the advanced practice permit separately. And so if, you know, I will continue working with the collaborative agreement, but let's say maybe all my dentists retired and then I didn't have another dentist that wanted to work with me, then I would be able to utilize the advanced practice permit and, yes, basically do pretty much the same thing, but just find a dentist that I can refer these patients to.
Follow up?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Thank you, Ms. Royer, for that answer. And I guess my next question is there an advantage to being in a collaborative agreement over advanced practice permit? And part two, if you did go from collaborative agreement to advanced practice permit, someone with your experience, I'm assuming you have over the requisite hours, can you envision what you'd be required to do? I mean, you've already established yourself as a competent, capable hygienist that's able to work autonomously. Would it just be simply filling out a new application and going before the board and they say you're okay? Or would you have to actually take a class or take a test?
No, it would be what you just said, you know, filling out a different application and going in front of the board. And yes, that would be the process.
Representative Sponholz.
Yeah, in follow-up, we do also have a member of the Board of Dental Examiners, Dr. Greg Johnson, who is also on the invited testimony list, and it might be helpful to hear from him how they envision implementing this.
Yeah, and thank you, Madam Co-Chair. The first question I asked was, would there be an advantage to staying in a collaborative agreement and not, and you said you would stay in your current situation. Is there an advantage to that? To getting the advanced permit, and are there many other collaborative agreement people out there?
Yes, well, for me, it is an advantage to have the collaborative agreement because then I work, you know, with the same dentist, and the dentist sees those residents. There's a few dentists, but they're all the same, so it's very consistent, and that's very nice for the residents, and the dentists come into the facility. They don't go out to a different practice, so it's all done at the clinic, at the facility. So that's very nice, and so that's the advantage of the collaborative in my practice.
Yeah, the other part was how many, are there a lot of collaborative agreement people? Is this a common type of agreement or license or whatever?
No, that's a good question. And that's we've only had collaborative agreement for about 10 years. And I do not know specifically how many are in collaborative practice, but I know of a couple other people that I know personally who are, and it's working very well for them also.
Thank you.
I believe that Sarah Chambers is also online. I believe that there are 5 dental hygienists who have collaborative agreements in the state of Alaska, but Sarah Chambers might be able to address that question more.
Ms. Chambers?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, this is Sarah Chambers, Director of the Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing. And my understanding is the same as the sponsors, that there are about 5 collaborative practicing dental hygienists in the state at this time.
Thank you. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Ms. Chambers. I got a little confused when we started this. They stated that there was over 650 licensed dental hygienists in the state. It sounds like this permit would allow a dental hygienist who is practicing under the supervision of a dentist to practice independently. Is this going to be an additional fee that they would have to pay for this permit? And I've got more questions, but I'll answer that.
Through the chair, Representative, yes, this will be an additional permit. They are required to be registered as dental hygienists before they can apply for and for this permit and qualify for it. So we're viewing this, when we're talking about implementation, viewing this almost as an endorsement to a dental hygienist license. So we have met with the board and talked through the fee setting process, and it's a little early because we don't know exactly how many will want to take advantage of this, but it's a little early to say what the fee might be, but this would be an additional fee on top of their dental hygienist fee.
Follow up?
Thank you, Ms. Chambers. So my question now is that they've met the qualifications and they're practicing independently with a permit as a dental hygienist in a expanded authorizations. If they did anything out of their practice restricted areas, it sounds to me like, okay, they could lose their permit, but there would probably end up being, you have 18 investigators. Sounds like there might be a investigation generated because of them practicing outside of their scope, or other problems might have happened. So I'm curious, is if there is something like that, would they have to be in investigation to determine if they practice outside of their scope? And if so, all other professional licensing have to pay for that investigation. How does this fit in with this process that we're doing to additionally add a permit?
Through the chair, thank you, Representative Thompson. Excellent questions. This advanced practice permit would fall under the Board of Dental Examiner's authority to both review and condition and even revoke permits. That state law provides them for any of the practice privileges that they are issuing. So the permit would be exactly like all of the other types of licenses that we issue. They would pay a fee to become part of this process, and they would practice hopefully lawfully. But if a complaint is registered or another triggering event that would cause an investigation to happen, our staff would investigate it, our professional investigators would investigate it and work with the board to present that information. And then the board would ultimately make a decision on whether this person, how to remediate or cease or everything in between if there is a violation, or if there's no violation, go that direction too. And so they would be just part of the existing process where the board and licensing programs all have to be self-funding per state law. So if there are no investigations, then there would not be a dramatic increase in cost. If there are a lot of investigations, which we certainly would not expect with this bill, then fees will have to be adjusted and set appropriately. And those fees would be, those increased fees would be covered by the dental licensees.
Representative Thompson.
Just for a quick clarification, thank you, Ms. Chambers, for your answers. So if there was expensive investigations, would it be back against the licensing of the dental hygienist, or would it be back against the permit holders only? I mean, as far as it would have to be probably a small increase of some sort to cover those investigations. Would that go back against the permit holders' fees, or would it go back against the full licensing fees of dental hygienists?
Through the chair, Representative Thompson, the state law requires each program to pay for itself, so we would consider investigative fees just as administrative fees, executive costs just as administrative costs, something that the program as a whole would have to cover, and how that would ultimately look would be a discussion between myself and the dental board. And usually, because of our accounting system, and we do not link investigations of a license type to that license type, so it's possible that dental hygienist or even dentist would end up paying at least in part for some of these investigations. But again, we do not anticipate many, if any, additional investigations.
Thank you, Ms. Chambers. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We do have questions from Representatives Josephson and LeBond, but I would like to have Dr. Johnson have a chance to do his invited testimony here. Dr. Gregory Johnson is a dentist and member of the Board of Dental Examiners. Dr. Johnson, can you please place yourself on the record and begin your testimony?
I certainly will, and thank you to the chair and the members of the committee. My name is Greg Johnson. I'm from Fairbanks, and I am providing testimony on behalf of the State Board of Dental Examiners. While I've only been on the Board of Dental Examiners since the start of the year, I have been a pediatric dentist in state of Alaska since 1987. I have served on the Medical Care Advisory Committee for the state of Alaska, and have also served on the board of Interior Community Health Center here in Fairbanks. I have to say, just with what I've heard, total compliment to the committee, that the engagement and the questions being asked are spot on, and you're looking for the right answers to the right questions. So I commend it. I hope I'm up for the challenge of answering any questions that you have as a follow-up if that happens. But I will say that during the previous legislative session and again during this current legislative session, the Board of Dental Examiners have discussed the possible introduction of the advanced practice hygiene permit. And in its most recent version, the Board of Dental Examiners has unanimously approved the passage of this and support behind the House Bill 111. And in addition to that, we would support any necessary companion regulations that would go with it. I think what I've heard is it's a distinction without really a huge difference in the function between the collaborative agreement and the permit for the advanced practice hygiene. I think some of the current concerns related to number one, the number probably is going to be closer to the collaborative agreement that already exists, as opposed to maybe something looking more at nurse practitioners, where it's in the 50 to 60 range. And proportionally, I think we would probably find it closer to the collaborative agreement. So we might find that there's a smaller number than 50 or 60. It's probably going to be less than 10 is just the best guess based on, the history. I think a lot of the enforcement part of it is for a dental hygienist that's practicing under this type of permit, they will be able to practice independently. And with that comes all the risk and the benefits that dentists face, and that is they will have a lot more skin in the game, and to the extent that they will be providing their own professional liability insurance, they will be paying staff, they will be paying overhead, and that's a huge amount of investment that a person would have to continue to make sure that their practice is within their scope and to do the right thing. So I think there's a little bit more skin in the game, and for that reason, there's a little bit more controls. But certainly the Board of Dental Examiners, which include hygienists and lay members besides dentists, they would look at this over the coming years very carefully to make sure that those any concerns that are raised are addressed. But it is stipulated in House Bill 111 that, yes, in fact, they have these guardrails built around their practice, which is appropriate. There's a lot of reasons to get behind it. And, you know, I think the bottom line for many dentists is, you know, access to care comes in a lot of, in a variety of forms. And we all know that preventive and maintenance care is essential to successful outcomes, and this helps with that. And, you know, this is one more way to put the right people with the right training, with the right oversight in the right places. And that's the reason that, that the Board of Dental Examiners is behind this this bill. And any questions that you might have, I'll try to answer them. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you calling in, Dr. Johnson. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you noting the astute questions from this committee. So we will go to Representative Josephson, Lebon, and Wohl, please.
Through the chair, for whomever is best situated to answer, Representative Spunholtz, you made reference to subsection B, top of page 3. And I'm curious whether this practice would be Medicaid qualifying.
Representative Josephson, through the chair, it would be Medicaid eligible. And that's actually one of the critical elements of this, is that many of the folks that are sort of in this underserved population are covered by Medicaid. So it would be critical that they be able to bill Medicaid to provide those services.
Follow up?
Yes, follow up.
In the same realm, and again, just a curiosity, would insurers for non-Medicaid qualifying folks, you and I, for example, would they just be compelled, if we have a law that says this was a fee, would they just be compelled to pay on that claim? Or how would that work? Or could they say, we don't recognize this?
Well, Representative Josephson, through the chair, neither you or I fall into an underserved category, so this wouldn't apply to you or I, to be clear and frank about that. However, for folks that perhaps were served by Anchorage Community, you know, Neighborhood Health, they would be eligible, and insurers would be required to cover services for folks that were in an underserved population. We don't expect actually a lot of utilization in the private insurance market, for the very reason that we're talking about an underserved population that is either in a rural community and are likely largely to be represented by tribal health, although it's not universal, or they're gonna be economically underserved, so they would be covered by Medicaid. So we don't expect a large number of insurance pay.
Representative Lebon, then Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just like to thank Dr. Johnson for calling in on a Saturday, because I know he is a very busy gentleman. And I would also like to congratulate him. I believe we confirmed him for a position on the Alaska Dental Oversight Board, or maybe I have that described wrong, and I know Dr. Johnson will correct me if he wishes to, but good morning, Dr. Johnson. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lebon, through the chair. Yes, it was really the Dental Examining Board that I was just named to, you know, I appreciate the opportunity to serve, and no problem showing up for something as important as this, because you know, I know that from the hygienist point of view, you know, for many of them it's a calling, because we're talking folks that are oftentimes, you know, in long-term care, and, you know, access is a challenge for all the right reasons. So, you know, I look at it from that perspective, and to me it's a solid call. You know, these folks deserve that kind of access and attention, and their quality of life is improved by having it available to them.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Wohl.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. And I'll echo what Representative Lebon said to Dr. Johnson, and if I'd seen his name, I would have objected so we could have called him out on the House floor the other day. This is a question for anybody, so I don't know where it would go, and I think I know the answer, but I just want to get it on the record. So I'm going to use a situation of someone under a collaborative agreement. Maybe they go into an underserved area, a remote village or a pioneer home or somewhere like that, and they see that someone needs medication. So they maybe call the dentist that's sort of overseeing it and get a prescription filled or get a prescription created. Now, in the advanced practice permit, without having a dentist overseeing, I'm assuming hygienists don't have any prescription power, and this bill wouldn't change that. So would the hygienist then refer the patient to a dentist if they would need some kind of prescription medication? And if they do have prescription power, I'd like to know about that.
No, it is
six. Representative Spanholtz?
Just to be clear, dental hygienists, if they were to identify a need that was outside of the scope of their training and approved practice by the Board of Dental Examiners, would be required to provide a referral to a dentist, and that would include for prescription medications or any other treatment that is necessary. And if you look at page 3 on line 22, subsection D of section 2 describes that. That's liability insurance.
But it also requires them.
Oh, we're good. It requires that they provide, on line 29, requires that they provide a referral to a dentist for any services that are outside of the scope of their training or licensure. So they would still be required to do that. They just wouldn't have this legal agreement set up with a dentist. But what we've heard from the dental hygienist is they would have to have essentially, you know, a working agreement with a dentist to whom they would make referrals anyways, because many things that would need to be done that would be identified in the practice of dental hygiene care would need referrals onto a dentist regardless. They would still have a relationship. It just wouldn't be in the form of a direct collaborative agreement.
Thank you. I understand. Follow up.
Follow up?
Yeah. So my prescription question, the hygienists do not prescribe drugs, and this obviously wouldn't change that, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further questions, we will go ahead and set House Bill 111 aside for our future meeting. And amendments for this bill will be due to my office on Tuesday, May 18th by noon. And this concludes our agenda for this morning. Our next meeting is Monday, May 17th at 9 a.m. We will consider Senate Bill 27, Industrial Hemp Program Manufacturing, by Senator Hughes. This is, I believe, identical to the hemp bill that we heard from Representative Hopkins. So with that, at 11:12 a.m., we are adjourned. Thank you.